I'm going to speak out of 1 John today. 1 John, somewhere near the back of the Bible. Oh, that is so much. That's so much easier. I don't feel alone anymore. Thank you. There's always some sort of trouble there when somebody says, "We like you less." Like, ouch. Oh, that hurts. We like you less. Did you hear what they said? They like me less. I think that was your grandma. Less more. I'm going to finish a series on identity. It's the positive ID, and we've had the strength training classes on Tuesday nights that have gone really well. We'll do more of those next year. You know, Stevie was talking about the words that Jonathan was grabbing out of his mouth, and I was thinking that, you know, Stevie's words aren't tangible. They don't produce stuff, but over time we know that his words do produce stuff, don't they? They produce confidence, they produce life, they produce healing and things like that. And I was thinking, when God speaks, he speaks things that are tangible. So when he says you are beautiful and you are powerful and you are unique and you are loved, that actually is meant to actually not just sit there and we struggle with it, but we like let it come inside of us and actually change us. Isn't that amazing? So God's words, when he's speaking to you out of scripture, out of song, out of his still small voice, he's like telling you things about yourself, of how you are. And that's so important for us to remember that it's not an intellectual construct that we're supposed to get in our head, that God loves us and be able to teach it. So today we've talked about you are powerful, you are unique, you are beautiful, and today you are loved. I thought you are loved would be the easier of all of them. I thought beautiful would be harder and things like that. But you are loved is really interesting because of the way we think God might love us. So I don't want you to have a raise of hands, but I took a spiritual assessment test called the Enneagram. It's a several thousand years old. It's real quite interesting. And one of the things that it says about my spiritual personality, if you will, is that I long for unconditional love, yet don't believe that it can be had. Isn't that an interesting description of me? It's not just me. I mean, a lot of us struggle with that. When I read that, I thought, I think that's true. That I want that love to be there, but I don't believe that it can be true. I've shared a little bit of how much I struggled with my son loving me so much, showing me affection, holding my hand as a 10-year-old, and that, you know, as a man and growing up as a manly man in the family I did, that was a struggle. That was a struggle to have that affection, and God helped me through intimacy and things like that. But I thought, you know, this morning we all want to be loved. We do. And it's by our parents, even if our parents are passed away. My dad's passed away. My mom's 70, 75 years old. And, you know, but if your parents are here or not, or alive or not, we still want our parents to love us. We want our children to love us, don't we? We want that love, and we want to get a sense of the tangibleness that our kids love us. I mean, even me talking about this way, I just feel like, I mean, the hair on my arms is standing up because we want that love, even if they're 10 years old, if they're 20 years old, however old they are. I know my mom wants my love when she's around me. She wants my affection. She wants to know that I love her, that I accept her, that I receive her, and I want that same thing from her. Our brothers and sisters, whether they're here or not, we want that love. Love is a huge struggle for us. Receiving love is a huge struggle. Often, we're able to give love to other people more than we're able to receive love from other people. Often we're able to do things for other people more than we allow God to do things for us. So it's that idea of love is not just a love of I'll be nice to you, I'll give you a place to live as a kid, or I'll do these things. It's something much deeper. It's something that hits us really, really deep, that you are loved. And you are loved. And the Holy Spirit this morning, it wants to convince you that you're loved. Not necessarily by your spouse. I know that sounds awful. Not necessarily by your kids or by your parents, but by him. that regardless of your experiences, regardless of what your past looks like, regardless of what you've done in your lives with your children or with your spouse or with your parents, and regardless of what might be there, that there is one that loves you that supersedes all of that, that love is so powerful. And when he says, and you hear him say, I love you, and we heard Sadi last week with that God speaking to her and what God is taught her, just showed her some pictures of her, and that when he speaks, something begins to change and shift inside of us. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how well we've lived life, we really want to be loved. And this morning, I just want us to think about God's love and how powerful that is and how that's really, really meant to change us. We had a conversation this morning about when the donuts got here about infant baptism. And we all have our thoughts on infant baptism and things like that. And we all have our thoughts about if this is true or not. And what it all really boils down to is, does this Creator, this Father God, does he love me? Does he love me? And is he a good God, and can I trust him? And throughout Scripture, we see that we can trust him and that he does love us. And he loves us in spite of ourselves. In fact, Scripture says that he loved us while we were against him. He loved us while we were of no use to him. He loved us before he was in our family. He loved us before we even knew him. He loved us. And that love wasn't just there and he's waiting for us to come find him. That love was constantly wooing and constantly there and constantly saying, come on into my family, into me, and to know me. And that love is a powerful thing. And you know, some people would say about love is you just you have to believe the Bible. It's the Bible, just believe what the Bible says. God loves you, just believe it. And it takes faith. And that might be partly true. Other people are like, look at the creation, the sunset, the ocean. When I'm in Colorado or I'm on the beach, I'm just like, there's got to be a creator, and he's got to be personal, because he couldn't put these colors together. He couldn't put this stuff together. He couldn't put this world together like this and not be a loving God and love directly towards me. But we know that can go bad. We know that Scripture, Paul used Scripture to actually be unloving to the followers of Christ. He knew the Scripture well, and he used Scripture. So Scripture that says to be loving to people, and then we have the creation that can be very unloving, and tsunamis and droughts and hurricanes and all of those things. And then we could say, well, he loved us at the cross, and we just need to believe that the cross, and we just need to accept that, and that he's going to love us one day when we're gone. But then that means that I'm born into a world that I need love, and I can get some love from other people, but it's not the love that really like wrecks and changes my life and changes my destination here on earth and beyond. And so I think all of those things are probably partly true, but I think that we're meant to experience God's love towards us. Don't you think? Don't you hope? That would be my expectation. And we can say, well, some people sense God more than other people, and that could be true too. But I think that any time that we need something, we're really just simply asking for his presence to come in and to abide with us, and us in that presence. And in that, since the Scripture says that we're going to read, God is love, that when that love comes in, it begins to transform us. It begins to change things. I want to feel that love of God. I do. I want to feel that love of God more than anything else. And sometimes I demand my wife give me the kind of love that only God can give me. Sometimes I demand that my kids give me their love that only God can give me. And see, if I really am desperate for love from my spouse or from my children or from my neighbor or from my friend, then I'm using them to get something. I'm demanding them to give me some sort of love and allegiance that can't ever heal me, can't ever help me, can't ever make me mature. And so when we go after things, when we believe in counseling, we believe in, you know, in help and things like that. And but when I go after anything other than his love for me, and when I read Scripture in any way that it's not his love for me, even his rebuke, even his punishment is all loving towards me. In 1 John it says God is love. It says it twice in the Scripture we're going to read, that God is love. It doesn't say in the scripture, even though we know he is loving, it's not saying he is loving. He's saying the very essence of who he is love. He's love. So everything that he does towards us is love. Every plan that he has for us is love. Whenever he's with us, it's love. If we're in the middle of doing something wrong and we call out his name, it's not like he's like, oh, I can't go in that place here and I can't be a part of what you're doing. He comes in here and he stands with us and it's loving and it begins to wreck us and change us. It begins to change our very insides. That love is a he is love. It's just what he does. It's the sun that the sun just shines. It doesn't go away. We just can't see it. It doesn't like get colder or hotter. It just shines. That's just what it does. It doesn't try to be hot. It isn't heating. It isn't heating the planet. It is heating the planet, but it's not like it's just hot. It's just the sun that provides the light. And he's God that is he's love. He's love. And that's something that we're meant to get inside. So what does it look like? What does it look like when you're struggling financially? When you're struggling with your children? When you're struggling in your marriage? And you ask the one who is loved to come in and be a part of that. You invite him in and he's there. What does that look like? I think Stevie said it great. He doesn't know what it looks like for you. I don't know what it looks like, but it looks like something. It feels like something. There's a tangibleness when he comes in, things begin to change. Yeah, we have a problem. Our problem is I can go to a counselor, I can go to a friend and think my friend can heal me. I can go to my spouse who is sick today and I can think that she can heal me. I can have a problem in my marriage and think my kids can heal me and do something for me. I can think that my job can give me the love or the respect or the encouragement or the position that I need. And we're always looking outside of this loving God, this God who is love. We do it all the time. We look for our beauty, we look for our uniqueness outside of relationship with God. And a lot of us are trained to look in religion for that love. And just like Paul, We can find something in there that we can adhere to, but never see God, never see the one who loves us, never experience him. And that love, I think, is meant to be experienced. So how do I know my son loves me? What he says to me, what he does around me. How do I know my wife loves me? What she gives me, how she's kind to me, that she listens to me. How did I know my parents loved me? They protected me. They gave me clothing. They gave me shelter. How did I know my brothers loved me? They protected me, literally. They were quite a bit bigger than me and a lot meaner than me. I'm number 4 of 5 boys. Two of them were already out of the house. It was a very mixed family, but the two boys were 6'1 and 6'2, and they were pretty rough compared to me. So I knew they loved me by how they protected me. Even if they were picking on me, they were then very protective of me. But even with that, I think that we know that other people love us in this fashion, or they like us and they're kind to us. And I think that if we could get this image that God is always that way to us, God is always giving us something. God is always doing something for us. God is always protecting us. He's always speaking to us. He's always being kind to us. There's an actual today, that today, the love of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God, the peace of God is here for us to experience. I don't mean like right here because we're gathered and we had communion and we had worship. I mean like today, when you leave today, when you walk back into a situation that's difficult today, the love of God is there and it means something. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, we're going to start in verse 7. I've already said this in a way, but I just want to just in this idea of God's love. We talked about this at the Strength Finders class. We love to be generic in how we speak. We love to be not very specific. But God is loving. well, then you tell me how God is loving to you. That's what the world wants to know. They don't need a bumper sticker that says God is loving. They don't need another message that God is loving. They need to hear us say God is loving me in this way. And it's a lot more powerful if they hear God is loving me while I'm going through this, and he's loving me in this way. This is what he's saying to me. This is what he's bringing back to my memory. This is what he's showing me of my future. Those are powerful things. That's the testimony. That's the word that the world is dying to hear. We're in a culture now where we have better, I don't know if it's better preaching, but it sounds awesome. We have better access, more access to digitized information than we've ever had in the history of mankind. We have more information online. You can study more online with a couple clicks of your button on the internet than anybody's ever been to study in the last forever up until just years ago. Just years ago, we have access to that. We have access to preachers all over the world. You can hear a preacher in Africa speaking English, and you can hear his service. You can hear Joseph Prince preaching in, I'm not sure where, preaching in English. You can hear people all over the world. We can pick and choose, and we can study the Bible. We can study it in multiple translations right on your phone. How many have the Bible app on their phone? So you look through your phone, and you go to a conference anymore, and nobody pulls out their Bible. Everybody pulls out their phone or their iPad or something like that. So there's no rustling of pages. I usually have my iPad up here, but not today. So think about that. Yet at the same time, we lack, it seems like, more and more, this personal touch with God. That God is with me, he's doing something towards me, and it's a good thing. This is how the Lord has rebuked me this month. This is the season of my life that God is training me in this. And I know specifically, not because of circumstances, not because I read about it, but because God is showing me that he's maturing me in this area. So this is going on, and I can't wait till it's over, and I can't wait. So we have this word of God that has to be personal. What has God done for you? What's God doing for you? What do you expect God will do for you? What's your hope that you have of him in your life? I don't just mean for tomorrow. I mean for your memories, for your experiences, for your failures, for all of those things that you have. There's something that God does when that loving father comes in, when that loving relationship comes in, and it takes care of things. I don't know how it happens. I've seen it over and over and over again. The very thing I would tell my wife and try to explain to my wife of what's going on in my life or what's going wrong between us, and as we argue, if I can just step back and just have God come right in and trust that relationship with him, then my relationship with my spouse gets better because there's something healing in that. My wife can't heal me. I tell men all the time, you're not man enough for your wife. And it sounds rough, doesn't it? But my wife, she's not. We need something other than that other person. We need this living, breathing, very tangible God. So 1 John 4, I'm going to start with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I want to stop right there. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Any area where you're unloving is an area you haven't allowed God into, and you don't know God intimately in that area. Any area that you don't love, that you're not loving, towards any group of people in any situation where you're not loving, you don't know God in that area. Isn't that interesting? I don't think it's like you don't know God at all, but you don't know God in that area. If you're judgmental, if you're hateful, if you're racist in an area, if you're always spewing bad speech about an area, you're not allowing God to love you in that area. That doesn't mean that you agree wholeheartedly or you change your politics. It just means you're not unloving, that you're loving in that area. There's something about God that when he's in our lives, it changes who we are. It changes how we think. It changes how we feel. It changes how we respond. It changes how we think about people. It changes what our needs become. As we get wholer and more healed, it changes in those areas. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I want to stop before I get to the end of this. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. What if your love for God wasn't what you should be pursuing and trying to be loving towards him? What if we've got it wrong, that it's our goal and our job to love God, that we need to find ways to love God? I think what we find in Scripture is that our main job is a work of faith, an act of faith. We apply our faith to, my God loves me. And our love towards him is an outgrowth of that. I don't have to focus on loving God. I don't have to put any effort on loving God. And that's the wrong effort, because I can love God out of works and never attach to his love for me. I know that sounds kind of odd. I read a book on love about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I was so mad at it, because it listed all the reasons why I had to love God. And of course it used Scripture. There's Scripture that talks about us loving God. But everywhere in Scripture you will find that my love for God comes through a deeper understanding of my love for him. A deeper understanding of my love for what he's done at the cross through his son Jesus. A deeper understanding of what's to come. A deeper understanding of how he's loving me right now. That my love for him is way less important, way less powerful compared to his love for me. Wow. To me, that's amazing. That I don't have to work hard to love. I don't have to work hard to love somebody or make somebody love me by doing a bunch of stuff. I don't have to get all my acts right, all my thoughts right. I just have to believe that this relationship right here, that this God that is love, this entity that is love, this personality that is love, this creator that is love, that as I get into that, something begins to happen and shift within me. And then I become more loving. And then my wife's love becomes enough. And then the body of Christ starts operating and has some healing things to give me. But it's not me trying. It's not me trying to be loving. It's not me trying to be a good dad. It's not me trying to be a good spouse. I've tried a lot of years. I've tried a lot of decades to be a good spouse. And I found, and Krisha was mentioned this to me this last week, it's so much easier when we both go away and ask God what's going on and trust him and not trust one another. It's so much better that we go get our stuff taken care of by the only one who truly loves our soul, the only one who really, really is in relationship with us, not manipulating us, not wanting something from us, not needing something from us, but giving everything to us. He says it on the cross. He does everything for us. It's not like, I'll give you some love, you love me back, and all you can prove it, and I'll give some more to you. He's showering us with his love. It's an abundance. His love is abundant towards us. It's just showering upon us. Yet we like the tit for tat. I give him this, he'll give me that. I pray this way, he'll give me that. I believe this, he'll give me that. I do these seven promises of a promise keeper, he'll give me that. I'm the Proverbs 31 wife, and my husband will be this way. It's not like that. It's not. That's not God's economy. God's economy is everything I have available for you, I give to you. Ask me for it. Ask me for it and walk into that relationship. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to the Savior, to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know and rely upon the love God has for us. If the resurrection, I mean, if the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension, the Jesus being buried, raising from the dead in 3 days, walking the earth, ascending into heaven, the Holy Spirit comes down, here available, the God's Spirit available to us today. If it's all based on His love for us. The cross is an act of love. The Holy Spirit, an act of love, an act of remembrance for what was, what can be, and what will come. And so when we think about the Holy Spirit, and we think about God with us and loving us, we've got to make it tangible. So what does God loving you feel like and look like? When is the last time you felt like God loved on you? When is the last time you feel like your parents or your spouse was really loving towards you? When did you just sit last time with your spouse or with a friend or with somebody, a loved one, and they didn't do anything or say anything? You just felt like, this is such a great, I love this. This is so good right here. God wants that. God wants that first place. And if we can do that, we'll become more and more solid people in all that we do. In John, in Scripture, it also says, it doesn't just say God is love, but it gives them also pictures of God is Spirit, God is light. He just is. He's just present with us. He's just lighting with us. If we invite Him in, He is light. He is life. It just changes something. I don't know how to say it any differently than that, but I want to give you a picture of this idea of cancer. We've all had people in our lives that have had cancer. We've all had different stories and different people that have had cancer. And it used to be you would have surgery and you would cut out cancer. That's all you would do. If you did anything, you would cut out cancer. Nowadays, you know, I grew up in L.A., then I went to Oregon and spent my from 12 and a half, almost 13 to about 17, working a farm and working construction. So it's all, you know, it's all without your shirt. It's all without suntan. With sunscreen, and I have a pigmentation problem. So I regularly get skin. It's not a skin. It's a precancerous thing. I regularly get it cut off and burnt off. First one, when I was in my 20s, I go in all the time. And so what they do is they cut it off, they burn it off. That's like the first thing. Even if you could find like a tumor, if it was something that they knew it was there, they'd cut it off. Then they went to what we would think of as chemotherapy, and they would infuse it with drugs. They would infuse your body with drugs, and it would go in, they would try to kill that cancer. The problem is it comes in and it kills a whole bunch of life around you. You begin to lose your hair, your strength, your stomach lining, and a lot of different things. And now what they've done, they got even smarter, so they're trying to get some chemotherapy, some drugs that come in, and they actually, part of it binds with a certain protein that's produced, that the cancer produces, and it attaches, and it attacks that even better. But it's not very good at killing it. It's more just like making it smaller. So sometimes chemotherapy is you get the chemotherapy, it makes the cancer smaller, then you can go cut it out. All right? So what they're trying to do now in the latest technologies, they're trying to combine the two. One that will kill it, one that will shrink it and kill it. That'll go together, that'll bind, so it'll go. The one that will attach real well and just shrink it but not kill it, they're trying to attach it to so it knows where to go, it attaches to it and it shrinks it. And hopefully eventually kills it. And a lot of us have like this, God is that way with us. He's wanting to do surgery. You know, we take a whole bunch of Jesus, a whole bunch of religion, and it makes us weak, and it makes us different than we are. But I think God, like what He does, He just gives us a whole bunch of life. He doesn't put any poison in us. He just gives us a whole bunch of life. And what we do is we have the image of the blood of Jesus, and we hook up and we get this transfusion of life. And it's so much life that it begins to push out death. It's so much life that it begins to push out hatred, sadness, depression. It begins to push out memories that we forget, but it begins to redeem those things that was hurting our bodies. It begins to redeem those things that are stopping our growth spiritually and mentally and emotionally. It just pushes all that stuff out. We're called to be different people at the end of this year than when we started. We're meant to be. because we're getting more and more freedom, more and more life, more and more Him in us. And it changes things. As much as you might want your wife to change, as much as you might want your husband to change, as much as you might want your kids to change, as much as you might want your employees or employers to change, God is saying, you ask for life, I'll give you life, and everything will change around you. Because how we see, how we hear, what we do begins to change. And I don't have to put a bunch of effort, a bunch of activity to me being good, to me working hard, to me trying hard. I think His therapy is a therapy for life. God is love, you're loved. God is love, and everything that needs to be healed in your life has ability to be healed. Everything that you need in life has ability this morning, by you asking, by you inviting in, has ability for God to heal you. His love. But you know what we come up against? We come up against barriers. We come up against barriers. This happened in my life. I've done this. I've been this way for so long. I'm so hurt in this area. My experiences are this. And we push up these barriers against this loving God, this God who is love, who just wants to be invited in. And we use religion for those barriers. We use a lot of different things for those barriers. And we use a lot of blaming God for being able not to love us. And He said, there's nothing that will separate me, and Scripture says. There's nothing that will separate us from God's love. There's not any act you've done. There's not anything you're contemplating. He's loving, and He wants you to receive that love. Romans 8:35 says, who will separate us from His love? What can separate us from His love? God has given His love to us without attachment. He's given that to us. And it's our place to choose that love. And I don't mean generally, but I mean letting the Lord speak to you. What does that love look like for me today, in my situation, in my home, in my heart, in my memories, in my mind? What does that look like today for me? What does it look like tomorrow? Part of the Journey by the Sea is a journal it's like 40 pages in seven or eight different areas of your life that ask God questions and ask you questions, and just, they're all questions towards God, trusting Him that His love will come in there, whether it's your finances, whether it's your home, whether it's your job, whether it's your health, whether it's your memories, whether it's your emotions, that God invited in will shift that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But I want to concentrate on that He gave, and He's still giving. He gave it all, but in our sense, He's still giving. He's still giving. His love, being love, means that He's constantly showering us with peace, with hope, with grace, with forgiveness. We just open up and say, yes, Dad, that's what I want. I need that memory healed. I need that emotion healed. I need that healed. That shipwrecks my life. Whenever I go in this direction, I self-sabotage. Whenever this happens, this memory comes up. And it's not just memories, it's not just emotions, it's practical stuff. It's places that we're stuck that He just says, invite me in, invite me in, invite me in. It's for your job, it's for how you raise your children, how you interact with your adult children, how you're around your grandchildren. And it's the best thing you can do for them is to walk in relationship with this loving God, this big, powerful, beautiful, unique, loving God who you carry His attributes. So, Father, right now, but just by Your Holy Spirit, I just ask for those defenses against Your love to be dropped. The religion, the teaching, the past, the doubt, just to drop it in Jesus' name. As we move closer in to Your love, to who You are, to how You love us, to how You're loving us this week, what You're doing for us this week, how You're describing us this week, how You see us this week, how You want to be with us this week. Very real, very tangible. We believe You. We trust You. We just say that You're a good God this morning. We receive Your love. We receive your love. Just remove every barrier to receiving, every barrier within us to receiving your love. We receive your love, wave after wave after wave, shower after shower after shower, injection after injection after injection. We receive your love. We receive it. We put our effort there. We put our faith there in your ability to love us despite ourselves, in your ability to describe us, to identify us in spite of ourselves. We thank you for that. We receive that. Receive the fullness, the abundance of who you are this morning. Father, as we leave this morning, I just pray your blessing, your happiness and your peace upon our people today, Father God, upon the people of the journey, the people of Tomball, the people of this area. Your peace and happiness and blessings and grace and love in their marriages, in their children, in their homes, in their office places, in their finances, your stability, your clarity of who they are in you and how you love them. We just thank you for that. Amen. All right, God bless you.